Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Left That Saves Lives radio show. My name is Gianni LaRocchia. Tonight, our co-host is the wonderful and handsome John Santa. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
And our co-host and producer is the lovely and beautiful Tara Brown.
Good evening, everyone.
So nice to hear a female voice, isn't it, John?
Yes.
We are going to introduce later on in the show our new theme song, so we will not come in like this anymore. We will come in very, very, with a much nicer intro. It's a pretty cool song written by Annie Wenz, a friend of mine from childhood. Annie lived on the block, six girls, one brother, Jay, who I used to play matchbox cars with in the sand in the backyard. So we'll have Annie on in a little while, and we're going to introduce the theme song with Annie live on the air. How was the 4th of July weekend, Tara? We're going to have Tara talk a little more tonight.
4th of July was great. We got a lot done at the house. I got to redo my carport and have family over the whole weekend. And we had a fireworks show that lasted about 2 hours in the front yard. Don't tell the cops, like that ocean guy, Oceanside guy.
Your fireworks?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so yeah. There's a lot of fireworks around here. Your 4th, good?
Yeah, it was good.
A lot of food?
Too much.
Too much food. You know where I'm getting with this, because next week we're going to introduce Get Thin with Corinne.
I know.
We'll talk more about it next week, but John and I are going to attempt to get thin with Corinne. So that's something to look forward to.
How much weight do you think you have to lose?
I got to lose... I would be okay with 10, 15.
No, I got to lose about 100.
Yeah, I was going to say that. No, it's 100. You know what was really cool, though? I did something. I had played a soccer game July 3rd with a bunch of kids from the neighborhood, and it was really cool to just see the kids away from the computers and get a pickup game. When was the last time you had a pickup game with kids? You know, back in the day in Middle Village, Queens, we used to always play stickball, so I had a lot of fun. Hurt my knee a little bit, but what are you going to do? So what I'd like to do on the Left to Save Lives radio show, remember the guys that lost on 9/11 in a special way. Always try to make them smile or laugh. Remember somebody. And on the phone, let's bring in Clarence on line one. Clarence, I worked with Clarence in South Carolina now. Clarence was with the U.S. Marine Corps, graduated from Parris Island, was voted the outstanding member of his platoon, and honor bestowed upon a recruit who attains the characteristics of the ideal state Marine. And let me tell you something. I worked with Clarence as a firefighter. This guy was one of the most dedicated people I've ever met. He was wounded in Vietnam. He was wounded at the first World Trade Center.
93.
On my birthday, where he rescued a pregnant lady. Retired in 2000, but Clarence responded on September 11, 2001, and was also injured there. Clarence, are you my friend?
I am here. We don't have the best of connections, but I can hear you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Like I said, it was an honor to work with you as a fireman.
Right. It's been a long time, John. It's good to hear your voice. Like I said, you're coming in and out, so I'm picking up a word here and there. I'm trying to tune in on what you're saying.
All right.
But, yeah.
I want to share a memory of somebody that you worked with who was lost on 9/11, somebody that you can remember. Just somebody you want to share with us.
Right. Yeah, I worked with, quite a few of the guys that lost their lives on September 11th. Matter of fact, there was a few of them that perished from our house, Ladder 12. And Stevie Dalton, remember him?
Yes.
Yeah, Stevie was assigned to Ladder 24, but he was with the 7th Battalion Chief at the time of the World Trade Center incident. But Steve and I were a good team, man, because he drove 24 truck, I drove a 12 truck, and if I didn't see him when I turned into the fire block, I would get on the handy talk and say, "Hey, Steve, where are you?" and vice versa, you know, so we could fully cover the building with our ladder. And Michael Mullen, that was by there. He was a great guy also. I mean, I enjoyed working with these guys. Never met a better bunch of guys in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. You there, Clarence?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
I don't know if you can hear me or not, John, but I'm just going to go ahead and say something comical between me and Michael Mullins, who was assigned to 12 Truck. And before I say this, I want to say that no matter what branch of the military that guys are in, we tease each other, and I think all branches are vital and necessary, and all of us do a great job. But I used to tease Michael Mullen about being in the military, because I think he was in the Army, and I was teasing him, like, you can't measure up to being a Marine. And this went on day in and day out for months, years. Finally, we're on Fifth Avenue, I think it's at St. Patrick's Cathedral. We're at Captain Drennan's funeral. Captain Drennan was one of the three firefighters that lost their lives at the White Street Fire.
Right.
So, yeah. So a firefighter called us to attention, and obviously he wasn't in the military because he called us to attention, and he left us standing there forever. And attention is not a position that you can stay in forever and ever. So I, at one point, I said to myself, I said, I'm going to give up. This is it. And at that split second, another firefighter said, at ease. And Michael Mullins, he was standing directly in front of me. So after everything was over, he told the guys, he said, I knew Clarence was behind me. And if I had to stay in that position of attention forever, I was not going to move because I knew he would tease me.
Hey, listen, when you said something, people listened. I know a few times you said something to me, and I'm like, he's not fooling around, because you were a dedicated, dedicated firefighter, and I always enjoyed working with you and knew my back was covered.
Likewise, John, likewise. I enjoyed the fire department.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in. I'm sorry we had some technical problems there, but you take care of yourself, Clarence, and I hope to see you soon.
All righty, John. It's nice talking to you, brother.
Thanks for spending the time, Clarence.
Thank you for your service, welcome. Clarence.
All righty. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Clarence, we were, that Stevie Belson guy he spoke about, he worked at 24 Truck. He was lost on 9/11, and he was very dedicated, another very dedicated guy. And it was like the fire trucks were his own. And I got detailed up there to drive.
You told me this story. And, this is good. Yeah.
And he, what do you, you come up here to drive my truck? And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? You know what? And I actually scratched the truck that night. Yep. And I think I ran out of there the next morning before he came
and in. And they're the firehouse right by Madison Square Garden. They're on 31st Street, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
So I don't
engine,
think we,
engine 1 and ladder 24.
Engine 1, ladder 2-4.
2-4. I forgot. You have all these.
We're trying to get rid of that hum a little bit. So do we have Annie on yet? We don't have Annie. I don't see Annie's on yet. So we'll fill in with a story. I have a Back to the Future.
Back
30
to the future?
Years. 30 years since Back to the Future was
1985
made.
1985 it came out, yeah.
Wow.
And I have I had a little trivia thing that I wanted to do with you. I also wanted to give away two tickets for the show with a trivia question. But I am not on the site right now, and I'm expecting Annie to call in. So I don't want to, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing with the computer half the time. You hear the hum?
A little bit, yeah. A little hum.
You got to fix that. So tell me about your 4th of July again.
I had hamburgers and hot dogs. Also, I'll tell you a story.
There's something.
Some kind of hum.
Something about a hot dog. I don't have them often. I love them.
Yeah, they're good. But my cousin, who's in the Air National Guard, he's a physician. He was awarded the Meritorious Service Medal and didn't tell me.
Wow.
So I see it on his fireplace, and I'm like, and he is my cousin Vinny. And I said, hey, Vin, anything you want to tell me? Oh, I got the Meritorious Service. So he also will be promoted to Lieutenant Colonel this year.
Oh, very good. Congratulations.
Thank you. He's a doctor. He's he started as a captain, and then he made major within a couple of years. And now he's going to be a lieutenant.
It's different when
the regular. No? No? We're having some technical
Yeah, I'm trying to move John to the other room with the computer, so we're still getting a little bit of a hump.
I think, is the show open on one of the computers? Because I'm hearing the show.
I hope it's not me again. I doubt it.
We shouldn't be listening to the show. Isn't that the first thing they tell you when you call into a professional radio show?
Yes, yes.
Turn down your radio.
Mm-hmm. People want to hear themselves. They call
they
in.
They want to hear themselves.
You can hear it in the echo.
There's always a delay. People don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's your favorite radio show host? I think it's Mike Francesa is John's favorite radio host.
Oh, yeah. He's my favorite. All right. Let's bring Annie. Annie Wentz is on line one. Thank you, Tara. Annie Wentz. Annie? Hello, Annie.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, hello, darling. How are you?
Hello, darling. I can't believe it. It's been so stinking long.
It has been long. I was just speaking to somebody about, you know, one of our neighbors is the principal of a school in my district.
Get out of town. Who, somebody I know?
I think so. Her name was Freddie LaRocca. She lived across the street from us.
No way.
Isn't that a small world?
Oh, my God, that's too much.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Annie was nice enough to let us use her song as our new intro song. We didn't play it up front because they wanted to play it when Annie was on. Now, what made you write this song, Annie? You like baseball?
Well, you know, growing up in Middle Village, I mean, we were not too far from Shea Stadium or Yankee Stadium, and I don't know if we ever went to games together with our parents, but, I mean, my dad, mom, they would bring us to the ballpark all the time, and you know, we came from a big family, so we always sat way up in the oxygen seats. Pardon my cold. and you know, I just always loved baseball, and you know, as time went on, just continued to watch, and then I became a professional musician and songwriter, and I used to tell all the folks, all my students, I make lists. So I started when I would go to ball games and start making lists of all the things that I saw and I smelled and then I went online and started researching like all of the things in baseball that have become words and phrases that we use. You know, she didn't step up to the plate, or you know, struck that one out. And so I put it together, and that was that.
I love it. You know, my grandfather used to own the luncheonette, as you know, LaRocca's luncheonette up there. And I remember watching baseball games with my grandfather and my father. And there's something about sports, for me, it's baseball, that just brings back such good memories. And when I heard this song, it was just so much fun to listen to it. And John and I are big baseball fans. Tara, are you a baseball fan?
No, I like going to the game, but I like watching hockey and football. Not a big baseball person.
So we're gonna bring a song, and we're gonna just play the first probably 45 seconds, because that's what we're gonna use in the intro to that first, what is it called, refrain?
To the right, play ball before the I don't know if you yet mentioned that, if any of the baseball fans out there know who Bill Spaceman Lee is. Bill, he's a just baseball legend, amazing guy, really wacky guy. He is singing the play ball line on the song.
Cool. Cool. All right, so let's play it. Bring it in there, Doug.
Old leather gloves, we're slapping in hams. Popcorn and peanuts, we're working the stands. Pink cotton candy, love on a stick. He's chasing the beer. The trick of the lips, play ball. Play ball. Load up the bases and smack it right over the wall.
Play ball.
Play ball. Take off the caps. Time for the song.
Hello, welcome back to the Laughter Saves Lives radio show. On the line, we have Nancy Carbone from Friends of Firefighters. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, how are you, John?
I'm excellent. Always better when I'm speaking to you.
Oh, sweet. Very sweet.
Nancy is a special person in my life. In fact, she was the first honoree at the Laughter Saves Lives Gala.
I was there. I know Nancy.
Nancy's a special gal. She knows how to deal with firefighters, so you can't mess around Nancy. She'll put you right in your place. But Nancy started Friends of Firefighters. Nancy, tell me, what made you start this organization? When was the time when you said, you know what, I want to do this?
I think everybody wanted to help initially right after 9/11. And I had no intention of starting an organization. I, in fact, did not know anything about nonprofits. I was just helping the local firefighters. And in doing that, I was sent by a local firehouse to go help another firehouse. Next thing I knew, I was going to 7 firehouses. And in doing that, I was just helping them with what they needed at the time. And, John, you'll remember early on, you guys needed boots and socks and bunting for the houses. And surprisingly, the first guy I met said that they would need counseling, and they wanted it outside of the fire department. And I didn't question that. I just didn't meet any counselors at that time that I would feel confident setting up both an organization and a counseling center. It took a long time, but frankly, it was the firefighters that drove Friends of Firefighters, and it's still the formula to this day.
That's right. You have a lot of guys who volunteer down there. You know, I haven't taken a lot of advantage of it, but the fact that I know it's there, I think, is just as important.
You know, it's funny. There's a guy that said he considers it like insurance, knowing it's there. And so, you know, that's one thing. But there are firefighters that count on it every day, and their families. So
yes,
we do get quite a few people through what is now 5 locations.
Amazing. And I'm proud to say that my little engine that could hear the Laughter Saves Lives Foundation has made a few donations to Friends of Firefighters.
We're
very proud of that.
Yeah, and we're very grateful for that. And John, you were along with the guys from Hazmat 1 and Squad 288, you were amongst our earliest supporters. I don't know, I'm sure it's a blur for you, and it sort of is for me, but more so for you. We were there, I think I was there, it was before it was an organization, right after 9/11 I met you guys. And I was very, very taken by how you banded together and got through, which was a horrific time.
Yes, it was, but you made it easier. It couldn't be easy.
I brought food. I mean, come on, John, you know. I brought cakes. But the thing I think that made a difference for me is that you allowed me to come in and you grew to trust me. And that is what drove the organization. It's really the trust that was built up over the years. And now we're you know, as you know, 14 years out. It's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. 14 years. Doesn't seem like 14 years. Like 14 years at all. But
what you do through your shows and through supporting the firefighters and the families is so admirable, and I'm really thrilled that Friends of Firefighters has worked together with you and Laughter Saves Lives Foundation, because what you're doing is really honorable.
Well, you know, I that's all I could do, make people laugh. And how could you tie that in with 9/11? And I tried to find a way to do that, and but I always, in the back of my mind, you know how long I was bugging you, Nancy, I want to do a show for you guys. I want to do a show for you. Only because that organization was there for me in the beginning, and I wanted to do something. I felt like I wasn't doing enough for you guys, and I wanted to do something. So,
well, we greatly appreciate it. I mean, at this point, we have a lot of firefighters, as you know, who are sick and actually dying. And
yes,
the demand for our services has increased, and I know for Counseling Services Unit as well. And we want to make sure that every firefighter and their family members, this is active and retired FDMA firefighters, that there is help there, that they do have a place to go. And, you know, we bend a couple of the rules. So we'll go to where somebody is. We have peers that will do that just to make it easier and take away all the barriers to getting help. There is no cost associated with any of our programs.
Well, you do a great job. Name some of the programs, Nancy.
Oh, my gosh. We have counseling. So we have individual marriage counseling, family counseling, support groups. Oh, gosh. Biofeedback, acupuncture, yoga. We have peers. So you know Tony Catapano. Tony Cat had 43 years on the job. He is at the firehouse. Most days you can find him. Pete Colacion, Billy Hodgins. Unfortunately, Kenny Pogan passed away in February, but he was there all the time, which was great for us. I'm trying to think. We have financial guidance. And yeah, that's, I mean, we have the old firehouse, which is a home to a lot of the firefighters that are no longer in active.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it was important to Nancy. They took over an old firehouse in Brooklyn and made it their headquarters.
How do they get in touch with you? Anybody who's seeking your services, how do they get in touch with you?
I think the easiest way, you know, the phone number is 718-643-0980. But the easiest way is probably to go online and just it's www.friendsoffirefighters.org. And everything that we do is listed there, all of our services. We also have some things that we're associated with. We have firehouse kitchens, and that's an episode airing in September. We don't have the dates yet on PBS. We have Friends of Firefighters Summer Day, July 24th, and that's going to be in Fort Tilden. Steve Buscemi, who's a member of our board, did an interview with me on Park Bench. He'll be funny. I probably won't be. he'll turn it into something. That's July 30th. We have a charity show at Revision Lounge August 11th. And a cookbook. We're putting together a cookbook from FDNY Firefighters. And our big gala is the third Thursday in October, which is October 15th, and that's going to be at the Well Public House in East Williamsburg. And that is John, you know it. It's next to your event. It's the best party in New York.
Is it in the same place, Nancy, it's been for the last few years?
No, it hasn't. They were very generous, but we really think we need to start moving outside of the Red Hook area. So we're moving on over to the East Williamsburg area. And you know, eventually we'll get into Queens. But And then you hear from the Bronx guys, why aren't you up in the Bronx? Well, you know, a little bit at a time. We're moving in that direction.
All right. Well, hopefully I can attend that. And we would love to do a show in that firehouse. I think that'd be such a cool venue.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it. That would be great.
So we'll talk more about that. I'm going to let you go now, Nancy. That's a nice way of saying we're cutting you off.
Thank you, Nancy, for coming on.
Thank you. All right, you take care. Keep
Thanks
up the good
for
work,
you
John.
Do, Nancy.
Hey, John, how do we get Steve Buscemi on this radio show?
We'll have to work on that.
I'll have to start doing his voice, too, and then we'll get him.
All right, so we loaded the show tonight with guests, right?
Yeah, we're good.
I think we got...
We're good.
Who's next? I think we got Eric back.
We have Tara in the corner now, so we don't get the hum. So Tara's in the corner.
Nobody puts Tara in the corner.
Let's bring Eric back on line two. Eric?
Hello.
Hey.
I'm here.
Thanks for being patient, Eric.
Hey, anything for laughter saves lives, buddy. You know that.
I wanted you to bring it back. Give yourself a plug. Where are you going to be, Eric?
Rockwell's in Pelham, New York, this weekend with Keith Anthony, the incomparable Keith Anthony, and myself. Also Sunday, I will be at the Broadway Comedy Club, 3 o'clock. I will be opening for Joe Moffa's one-man show, My Big Fat Dysfunctional Wife. It's actually a two-person show. I wind up opening it. He does time, and that's where I'll be this weekend.
Broadway, off-Broadway show? Is that playing again anywhere soon?
Well... Not really. We're waiting on announcing a date on Long Island, which will be in October, I believe. We've got dates in October, but we're taking the summer off. We're taking the summer off, so that's it. We did a run. We just finished a run in the city. So there you go.
All right,
and we're
Eric.
Done with that for the time being.
I can hear Eric fine.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Eric, for coming on the show. We're having some technical issues, which we apologize for.
John, great.
I bet you John hit mute on his headset again.
Oh, I did not.
Oh, you did. Okay. All right. Now I can hear you.
Eric, thanks so much for being patient.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
See you soon, buddy.
Thank you. I think I heard you. All right. Bye.
Like I said, we got a stack show in Carlos. We're going to be calling Carlos soon. We can call him now. Let's bring A. Marie on.
Hey.
It's our part-time bro.
Part-time bro in the house.
In the house. Well, in your house, right?
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. And John and I and Tara in my house in Long Island.
I got to come over.
Right now?
Well, no, next time.
Yeah, we'll have him here one day when John always brings donuts, though, Avery. I know you're like, you really work out. Tara likes to work out. John brings donuts, cannolis.
I brought nothing this week.
He was scolded. All right. let's get right into it, Avery, because we got Carlos on hold. We get Carlos soon. We don't want to back him up. But let's talk about a few Amory issues. Page 5 sports. Some of them not page 1, though. Hot dog eating contest. What do you think, Amory?
Well, the reigning champion, Chestnut, was, beaten by the 5'8", 130-pound Stoney. 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That makes me throw up.
Oh, me too. Did you ever watch it?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, the part that freaks me out the most is when they dip it in the water, like the bun. And I'm like, bleh. Like, I'd want, like, beer or something. Like, I'm just like, bleh. I can't watch it, though, but I try to every year.
Can you imagine how, not to get into potty humor, but just logistically, you eat two hot dogs.
No, I know. And, I guess he doesn't eat 2 days of the winner this year. He doesn't eat 2 days before. And then, like, the reigning champion, Chestnut, he, like, proposed to his girlfriend, and the girl broke it off. So I felt bad for him, and he lost this year. It's a tough year for him.
All right, next issue. Zach Hempel with the baseball here. They finally came to a resolution here, huh?
After 2 weeks, he made a deal with the Yankees for his favorite charity. The Yankees bought the ball for $150,000, and they want to give it to A-Rod, and they're giving $150,000 to Zach Hempel's favorite charity, pitching him for baseball, which supplies underprivileged kids with baseball equipment.
That's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but can I ask you a question about this guy? He says he caught 8,000 balls, right?
Yeah.
Didn't you discuss this last week?
We did?
Didn't you say, how many games he was out of something?
Oh, yeah, never mind. Right? Disregard.
Well, since 1990, he's caught over, like, 8,000 baseballs.
Amazing. How many did you catch? I caught one.
I've caught none.
None?
None.
Sarah? None?
I haven't caught any either.
Amory, you catch any?
No. There's a science to it, I guess. He has 3 books on it, and he, like, pushes over kids. I mean, this guy's no joke.
He's an animal.
He's 37.
When John and I were at spring training and I was on the field and a ball was hit right at me, I was all alone and I called it. I got it. Out of nowhere, this 8-year-old kid comes, cuts me off. I back up and I went to catch the ball. Not because I wanted to, but because there were cameras all over the place and I didn't want to be on social media being vilified. That was my ball. I don't care. He's 8 years old.
And then he cried.
No, I wouldn't have it.
No, you cried.
Oh, I cried. 25 years old. Who the hell is this kid to cut me off?
All right, let's talk about this. I don't know if you saw that. I put on, Avery, did you see this guy that ran that race? What was it? The Petrie Men's Open 10K in Atlanta?
Yeah, and he celebrated before he finished.
He was winning the race. And at the, like, a few feet before the finish line, he, like, raised his arm to celebrate and kind of just slowed down, like, his step, and he lost.
I know. But, you know, we've seen that in football. We've seen that in a lot of sports. So, like, drop the football before they get in the end zone. Idiot.
I love it. I'm glad he lost because you don't do it. You're a professional. You wait until you're there, and then you celebrate.
USA Soccer. Great victory,
go USA.
Huh?
Yes.
You know what I noticed? The difference between women's soccer and men's soccer, though, men
They're
are
pretty.
Like real babies when it comes to like, you know, you just like you blow on them the wrong way and they fall down screaming, crying, wah wah wah. And the women were getting some.
You are right.
I have a question for Tara and Amory, who obviously
Amory.
Amory,
sorry.
It's all right, everyone knows it's a New York thing. I don't know what that is.
Sorry,
I'll put him in place, Amory. Don't worry.
It's like Italian, Amory.
Hey, Marie. All right, so I have a question. I know nothing about soccer. I know you know nothing about soccer.
I only coached for 22 seasons, but I know nothing. You're right. No, you're right.
You are a soccer. Sorry, I got you confused. Anyway, why – it's supposed to end at 90 minutes. Why were they playing 93, 94 minutes? I don't know.
Marie, you want to chime in?
There's always added extra minutes for when, like, plays are stopped or substitutions. They, like, add on extra minutes towards the end of the game, Like, you know how, like, in all the sports we, like, stop and go when the whistle goes? Like, they add on everything at the end.
It's a weird sport.
You never told me you coached soccer for 22 years.
I coached PAL. I'm serious. I still don't know much.
Especially the USA women's team, not only are they been together, like, 16 years, like, crazy long for a team, this group individual, they're all in their late, most of them are in their late 30s, is like a lot of them are really attractive, and a lot of us female athletes get that taken away from us. And these girls are pretty. Did you guys see these girls? They're like beautiful girls that can play sports, and I respect that.
I think that they're going to play the next game in lingerie, eh, Marie?
I'll start training.
We've got to ask Anne Marie about that thing with Eisner. Do we have time?
Well, hold on. I got another issue here I want to bring up. Anne Marie.
Yeah.
Did you see the interesting fact that I sent you about that female pitcher in 1931?
No. What did it say?
Jackie Mitchell was one of the first female pitchers to play professional baseball, AA, and they played an exhibition game against the New York Yankees.
Stop.
And she struck out back-to-back Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth.
I don't think people want us to know this. That's why, how have I never heard this? That's freaking amazing.
I was just, futzing around. Hey, I want to talk to Anne Marie this week. And I said, let me look at some interesting facts about sports. And this popped up. Really, really cool.
I'm going to, research this girl and get her jersey.
They said, was it a setup? Was it not a setup? And they said after the game, Babe Ruth was so upset he wouldn't do an interview.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, you know how guys take that hard when girls beat them,
Yep.
Yeah.
Look at what's his name?
Do I have a minute to cover one subject, or are you guys holding Carlos online?
Yeah, we're going to get Carlos on in 1 second. New York Mets, Mats. Again, the guy can hit, the guy can pitch.
Yep.
I think you guys are Mets fans, right? I think you guys get a lot of hope. I hope he keeps going.
Well, we have to have hope. We're Mets fans.
Can I just touch base on combined? I'll do it in 30 seconds. Matt Bonier from the San Antonio Spurs and JPP from the Giants.
JPP.
Are you guys Giants fans?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a huge Giants fan.
Well,
you know,
you're going to franchise tag him, but we won't know until July 15th, and he might not, get that deal now because of a firework incident on Saturday.
Tara has some information for us.
Yeah,
on that.
I thought I heard this afternoon that they rescinded his offer.
Yeah, $60 million over a long-term contract. So,
right. They rescinded the long-term.
I was like, who was at the party? Like Plexico Burress? Like, remember that whole incident? Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ, did we not learn?
This is why you don't get greedy. You have an offer, sign, because now he might get nothing.
Here's the way I feel before we bring on Carlos Anne Marie, then we're going to let you go.
Yep.
I was saying to John before, Jabba Chamberlain broke his ankle on a trampoline 1 year. Athletes, there's a fine line. Now, this guy was an idiot playing with fireworks. But are you allowed to ski in the off season? What if your family's going skiing? What are you going to sit and watch? I understand why you should sit and watch, but as a father, I understand why you would want to enjoy a time with your kids, and you break your leg and you're screwed.
Yeah.
So it must be tough for them at times. I don't feel sorry for them making millions of dollars, but it must be tough at times to go, hey, listen, guys, I can't play in this pickup basketball game. I'll sit here and watch.
But I think we're about to go into training camp, and I think you should be extra careful, especially if you're going to be franchise tag.
my wife, I was looking up all this information about spinal stenosis when David Wright was diagnosed, and my wife's like, you spend more time looking up the health of David Wright than you do asking me about my health. And I said, when I have a jersey with your name and number on the back and you're the captain of the Mets, then I'll care about your health.
Amory.
That was a joke, of course.
Amory,
I got it.
Home run, as always. Thank you so much for taking the time to be our part-time bro.
I love being your part-time bro. I'm coming to Long Island next time.
All right. Well, I'll see you on Thursday. Where are you going to be this week, by the way?
I also do stand-up comedy. I'll be at Broadway Comedy Club in Manhattan at 8 p.m. on this Thursday.
Excellent. All right, Amory. Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right, Amory. Another good job.
She's fantastic.
She is. She does a good job, right? I think she's going to be on ESPN someday.
She may be.
Sunray Services is one of Long Island's top heating, cooling, and electrical contractors. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary. Sunray proudly serves Nassau and Suffolk counties and is a partner with both PSE&G and National Grid. Now's the best time to upgrade your central air conditioning and heating systems. Sunray offers 0% financing. I love that. 0% financing and unsurpassed service. Call them today to get a home estimate at 888-9-SUNRAY. That's 888-9-SUNRAY. Just going to read one more quick commercial. All Clear Drain and Sewer Service. 516-409-9696. Sinks, tubs, toilets, main lines, Dell and Cologne. They're great people. Love them over there. Reliable and courteous service. We're going to bring in our last guest now, Carlos. Where is Carlos there on line two? Carlos Rodriguez, you there?
John, can you hear me, man?
Let me tell you something. You've been very, very patient holding on.
Hey, John, I got a quick question for you. How many of your listeners stream into you guys?
Well, they go to LaughingSageLive.com. That's the easiest way. Just click on there, and it'll bring up the radio, the listen button, and they can click on listen, and they can hear us.
Okay, no. If I sit down on my laptop.
LaughterSavesLives.org.
LaughterSavesLives.org.
There's a delay, Carlos. All right. So Carlos Rodriguez, I worked with Carlos with the IFF. He's a Wichita, Kansas Fire Department firefighter for, 25 years, I think.
Crazy.
Am I right? 25, it'll be 26?
That's the plan, John. 25 and growing. I mean, in the biggest term, brother, I like to go out on my own terms. But, I'm feeling good these days. I'm feeling strong. Got a great, great support group. I go back and it's friends like you, friends of firefighters in Red Hook, Brooklyn. Matter of fact, I'm probably sitting in the strongest support group right now in the living room. They're frantically trying to open up the laptop and listen to your program. They've heard enough stories about the traveling adventures we've had, so now they're trying to stream the radio show live.
Well, let me say this. Carlos was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia in August of 2011. Shortly after, if I remember the story correctly, you ran the New York City Marathon. Is that correct, Carlos?
Yeah. You know what? It was crazy, John. I was in your city. I was at the Hilton at Avenues of America. And I was there for the IFF Redmond Health and Wellness Safety Symposium. And of all the places, the largest gathering for professional firefighters in the world for health and safety to promote a better, safer service that we provide, I get the phone call that morning. And surreal.
Really?
Surrounded by so many friends from all over the country, and not a damn thing I could have done.
Jeez. So now tell us about what they told you to do and what you chose to do.
Yeah. Well, first off, John, because it's who we are. It's how we're cut and the mold that we are as firemen. We're invincible. You know, we can do no, we feel nothing. And that the sad part is I was feeling everything. I was beat up. I was sore. I was dropping weight, bruising all over the place. It felt like the flu, but without a fever for probably well over 3/4 of a year. Finally caved in and went and got looked at. And when I got the phone call, I was in utter disbelief. I mean, who wants to hear that? I didn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it. Multiple opinions. Finally, that was the one that just woke me up. And basically, it was time to shut down. It was time not to take away from the job or take away from your normal life. It was everything stops. You're going to start treatment immediate. And let's see what happens. Because at this point, you don't have options. And
right.
Coming from the lifestyle that we live, John, and we take so much for granted. And I tell you, that's what your program is such a life stream for me to just grab a hold of and say, hey, you know what? And life's short. You got to laugh. You got to step back and you got to laugh and you got to, you know, make fun of the things that are difficult. And if not, they're going to eat us up. I didn't have the time to be eating up. I was an angry guy. I was very rude. I was probably, excuse my language, probably one of the biggest a-holes on the planet. I was very, very ugly. In a very dark place. I can say it today. I couldn't then. A very strong mutual friend of ourselves, the Moose, Tony Musafidi. I don't know. I call it intervention. The day after the New York City Marathon, he he picked me up right there at the hip and drove me over to Friends of Firefighters, which I met before, post 9/11, you know, with all the wonderful things that they were doing and trying to do for you guys. And Nancy,
you know,
who runs that program.
Do you know Nancy was just on? Did you hear her?
Yeah, I didn't. I wanted to say something. I wanted to say, hey, I don't want to be rude. I figured I hung up on it. That's what you do. You hang up on guys. But, I went there. I thought we were running errands. And it was an intervention. He sat me down with the other Tony, and who's not a different set of consequences entirely, but he too had cancer. You know what? It's okay to be angry. It's okay to think of the things that you do. Let's just, you know, I never talked to someone from my profession that was diagnosed, and I wasn't alone. And I was in a dark place, and Tony Muschiafitti, you know, that brother, he saved me more than once, but it was getting ugly. I was going down a very, very dark
path. You know, hey, listen, I just had a little lump on the side of my head that I had to remove that had a little cancer in it. And I was miserable. In fact, I was eating very healthy up until I found this little lump and they said it might have been cancer. All of a sudden, I'm eating hamburgers. My wife's like, well, why are you eating all this crap? And I'm like, I got cancer. That's why I'm eating. You know, you go to a different place. You don't know how to deal with it, you know. And it takes those special people in your life, like Tony, like Nancy, to kind of maybe shake you sometimes and go, hey, bro, you know, where you're going is not good. Let me help you, you know.
Yeah, you know, and you'd ask, you know, what did they tell me what I did? You know, what they told me was to basically stop living, retire from the department, get your life together, meaning not like get my act together, but no, you know, start thinking about short-term, not long-term, but short-term consequences, short-term arrangements. And, you know, I was, you know, past my mid-40s. It's like, I'm thinking, are you effing nuts? Are you, you know, I couldn't. But my only thing that I could attach itself to was I was sick between multiple rounds of chemotherapy and some irradiation, the weight loss, the dizziness, just the entire completely just, I was beat down. The New York City Marathon, I went there to qualify for Boston and I didn't. I spent more time in the medical tent after the run because of an issue with an apple than I did to run it. And now you're done? No, I couldn't. And it became a journey of, I didn't like the treatments. I didn't agree with the treatments. But I ran, and I try to run away from it, John. And you know, I listen to the stories that you tell, and I go back to some of our road trips, some of the funny things that happen on the road trips. You know, I can't run from that. You can't run from stuff like that. But the craziest thing happened along the way, and trying to become this elite runner that I knew I would never be, but. And defying what everybody was telling me to stop was I'm a very anti at the time. I was very anti medicine, even though they were pumping chemo on me, anti any remedies. And I had I had a lump in my breast. And as a guy with everything going on, you'd think I would be completely beat down. That really messed with me mentally. I'm a guy that, okay, now in addition to this blood cancer, I'm gonna have breast cancer. What, you know, it's like, what else? You're taking my manhood. And what was ironic was I found out that not uncommon to have breast cancer. Not knocking it, but it was a lymphatic issue, and that was already a chapter in my life that was opening. That really for me, and I got to say. You know, you said I could hear Nancy from Friends of Firefighters. I've got my own version of Nancy. I have my Nancy. And, you know, that's kind of her thing. She is huge, huge into lymphatic treatment. She's huge, huge into therapy. And something that was a quick, holistic remedy that she fixed in about 24 hours kind of made me start to think about, you know, kind of my lifestyle. I was doing pretty good, eating pretty well, but I started to eat better.
And, differently, right? And it really helped.
I was able to laugh again, and I was able to enjoy things again. And we try to. I certainly follow your progress on Facebook, and just I laugh my ass off.
Oh, thanks, Carlos. I told you I had a follower. Here he is. We found him.
I know. I'm the guy. He didn't pay me.
Listen, Carlos, but, I hate to cut you off. It's tough cutting somebody off when they're talking about their illness and stuff. So it might sound like I'm kind of short with you, but you're an inspiration. The show is going to end, so that's why I'm letting you go. I appreciate you holding and pulling in. And the next time you come on, I want to talk about that story with Ron Sperry, which I thought was hysterical.
Yeah, it was, brother.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself and stay in touch, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, John. Be careful, man. See you on the road.
You too. That was Carlos Rodriguez, Wichita. What an inspiration this guy is.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think I would have crawled up in a corner. He says we're all built the same. I don't think so. I think he's special. That's my opinion.
Great guests on tonight. All very helpful things.
We're learning, I think. But it's, you know, I know Tara sends me messages and like, show looked full. And it's so hard to balance. Do we have enough or do we have too much? I mean, do I want to cut off calls? We're talking about leukemia. Right? Do you want to cut this guest off, or do you want somebody else to talk a little longer because they're the first guest and you're afraid you're not going to fill the time? So we're learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We sent Tara outside because we had feedback. Tara, John, where are you going to be working this weekend? Working with anybody special?
I'm working with a very, 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 very funny headliner this weekend.
What's his name?
My favorite headline, the best headline there is. John LaRocchia. I'm working with John LaRocchia this week.
Where are we working?
We're working in Santa Mauritius.
Santa Mauritius.
And if you go to, do you have it up on your website, your show?
No.
Go to johnsantocomedian.com. All the details are on the website.
All right. Thank you very much. Tara, we got to get you to talk a little more, right? I'm sorry.
It's all right. I'm good back here.
You did a great job.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you very much. We're out.
And as always, thank you for listening.
Old leather gloves, we're slapping in hams. Popcorn and peanuts, we're working the stands. Pink cotton candy, love on a stick. He's chasing the beer. The trick of the lips, play ball. Play ball. Load up the bases and smack it right over the wall.
Play ball.
Play ball. Take off the caps, time for the song. Red, white, and blue, we all sing along. The ace on the mound. Seems staring him down, looking real mean. Play ball, play ball. Load up the bases and smack it right over the wall.
Play ball,
play ball. Fogging the lights, wetting the clay. An old guy was saying when I used to play. Cracker Jack cries, New Jersey mud. Remember when you paid a buck for a bud. Looking him over, making the call. Covered the bases, spitting the ball. Right off the bat, walking a slide. Bunting a steal in a solid line drive. Pinch it, knuckleball, doing the wave. Stand up and dance to YMCA. Organ is wailing, we're pounding our feet. Touching the sky in oxygen seats. Play ball. Play ball. Load up the bases and smack it right over the wall.
Play ball.
Play ball. Bottom nine, home got the licks. Bases are loaded, we're watching them twitch. Wind up the pitch, and run for the fans. It's out of the park. Walk up, grand slam, play ball. Play ball. it right over the wall.
Play ball.